Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Before I get started, so I'm praying like, God, what's the word? You get an opportunity to share and you're like, there's so many things that the Lord's been saying to me. Like, what am I going to share? And then I just remembered something. So I decided that what I'm going to do is share something with you before we get started. So when I was a kid, and I still do this, I really love to drive by churches and see what their marquees would say, right? Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're challenging, sometimes they're stupid. There's all kinds of them. And so I got a couple that I want to share with you before we get started. So if we can put that first one up, I think we've all probably seen this one. There's a purple thing right over the words, which is how it typically is. Now, here we go. What is missing from cha-cha? You are, right? This is cute. So the next one is, I like this one because it spoke to me the most. God gave us mouths that close and ears that don't. That might tell you something. Like, I needed that one. I really did. This next one, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but it's really funny to me. It says, purple? No. Whoever stole our AC units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. Like, this one really cracked me up. Because it's like, they stole all their AC units, like not just one. They're like, whoever stole them, keep one of them. Like, so that's just funny to me. And then the last one, before I get to talking about what we're going to talk about today, it says sign broken, message inside. Like, that's just kind of wah, wah, wah. That was like my dad joke earlier. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. So before I show you the last one, so when I was a kid, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be a preacher or not. My dad was a preacher, so sometimes when your dad's a preacher, you think maybe I'm going to preach someday. And so I remember seeing this marquee and I thought to myself, if I ever preach, I want to preach that sermon. Cause you can go ahead and put it up. This is what we're going to be talking about today. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? So this one really spoke to me. So first of all, when I was a kid, it was many times that I would hear my grandma or my mom or somebody say, what in the world are you doing? Or they'd be like, for heaven's sake, we don't really hear that anymore. But does anybody remember that? Like, I remember that. So, but when I saw this marquee, I thought it was an interesting play on words. I was a kid. I don't know how I was. I might have been 12 years old. But I remember thinking, oh, what on the earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Like, what in the world are we doing for heaven's sake? Like, that's what we're doing. So I start thinking about this. Like, what would that sermon even sound like? And it sounds like, I think, how do we bring the kingdom to earth? Like, what does that look like? We talk about this all the time, but sometimes I say that to people and they're like, I don't even know what that means. Sometimes I say it and I'm like, I'm not even sure what that means. So what we're going to talk about is what does it mean to bring the kingdom to earth? Now I got to tell you guys, like I don't have a lot of experience writing sermons. So all I know to do is really just say what I hear the Father saying, right? And so just know that I'm just going to try to articulate his heart for you today. And I'm going to try to share with you what he said to me. And honestly, everything that I'm saying to you, he said to me for me first. And so sometimes in my notes, when I'm writing, I'll write like me or I'll write you because I write out everything. And so what I want you to know is that if you hear me say you, I really mean we. If you hear me say me, I really mean we. So I'm not sure which words I'm going to use, but just know if you feel like you want to get offended by something I say, it's probably for us. So, yeah, that wasn't even a joke, but that's the truth, right? That's the truth. So bear with me. Sometimes I just get carried away and I start going, and I don't know if I'm saying you, me, we, whatever. It's for us today. Amen? I just did like a preacher thing and said amen after something. That was funny. What does it mean to bring the kingdom? So always thinking about this, when you're bringing the kingdom, we're like ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, right? We're strangers in a strange land, right? This is not our home. We've heard it. Like I grew up, you know, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Like all the old school hymners in here. That's I can't remember the name of the song, but that's one of them. So we're not here to represent this kingdom. We're here to represent his kingdom, the kingdom. So when I think about this, I started asking myself, like, what does it look like? Is it my job to come here as a representative of the kingdom of heaven and try to change this kingdom to look like the kingdom of heaven? Or is it my role and my calling to come into this kingdom and just represent the kingdom and let the Holy Spirit do the work, right? So this reminds me of a story. And before I get to our first scripture, it reminds me of a story. I had the opportunity you know, as I'm thinking about this, like, what's my role? How am I going to do this? How do I bring the kingdom? I had the opportunity to go with some friends of ours to France, right? France is a different culture than America. There's a lot of things that I'm not used to that I see, and I'm like, oh, that's not like America. I mean, I'm used to American culture. So we get there. I love it. It's beautiful, everything about it. There's so many beautiful things. But what I learned is when you stay in a hotel and you get up in the morning, they serve breakfast, which is killer. I always love a hotel that serves breakfast, but it's different. Right? It's bread, cheese, fruit, like prosciutto. Like, this is what you get for breakfast. And so I get up the first morning, I'm like, what is this? This is not breakfast. This is like snacks. And so then I start thinking, like, where is the sausage, eggs, sausage gravy, biscuits, hash browns, America? Like where is it? And so I started thinking about this. And so what I wondered, like, when you're thinking about cultural differences, so would it have been the way for me to have flown over the ocean with boxes of sausage gravy, poured it all over the buffet of snack food, and been like, this is breakfast. Enjoy, America. Or would it be better for me to realize there's differences in what we see and what we believe? Go to my home, cook up some sausage gravy, invite them to my house to taste some sausage gravy, and let the Holy Spirit reveal that sausage gravy is a superior breakfast to prosciutto. Like, that's what, so I'm wondering, yeah. So I'm wondering, like, what is our role? Is it our role to pour sausage gravy on them, or is it our place to show them and let the Holy Spirit reveal? So that's when we talk about bringing the kingdom, this is where we're at. We are kingdom people. If you're a believer in here, it is your responsibility to represent the kingdom of heaven in this place. It's what we do. It's what we do. No offense to the vegetarians or the prosciutto eaters. I hope that wasn't a middle note. So back to the original question, what does it mean to bring heaven to earth? What in the world are we doing for heaven's sake? So as I began to ask the Father these questions, I found myself in Acts 1, specifically Acts 1:8. So if you want to join me there, it's going to be on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Something I always do, and I think this is what we're supposed to do. I'm sure that you all do this as well. Like, when you read the scripture, kind of the point is you see how it might apply to your life. Like, this is the beauty of the scripture. Like, you're like, oh, this is what it says. I wonder how that fits into my life. Oh, it doesn't. I better align myself with it, right? That's what we do. So I'm thinking about this. So what I like to do in this scripture, we're gonna read. So basically what it says is the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I will be his witness, telling people about Jesus everywhere. So when I break this down into my personal life, this is what it sounds like. Jerusalem would be my home. I will be a witness in my home. Judea, I live in Nixa. What up, Eagles? There's no Eagles in the house, apparently. Judea would be like Nixa, right? So, and then Samaria would be like Ozark. Now, if you're not from no, I didn't ask for that. Sorry. So, if you know Nixa Ozark, like, that's kind of a rivalry, right? So Judea and Samaria, they aren't friendly. But what he says is, be my witness in Samaria. So what he's saying is, be my witness where your enemies live. Right? So be my witness in Ozark, even though you live in Nixa, even though you're always competing for sports rivalries, you want to see whose high school's the biggest, you want to find out all the things, who's got the better restaurants. I think Ozark's winning that one, by the way, unfortunately. But so you're a witness in your home, you're a witness in your town, you're a witness to where your enemies live, and you're a witness to the ends of the earth, to everyone, right? So the first way that we bring the kingdom is to be a witness. So what does that mean? I ask a lot of questions. Like, it's just the way I am. Like, I don't know what that means. So what does it mean to be a witness? There's like all kinds of examples, right? So when I was a kid, sometimes people just go door to door. Do you know Jesus? Sometimes that works. Sometimes They tell you to leave, whatever. There's also this thing, like, I don't know if you guys, some of you will remember this. I talked to some friends about this last night. Really, nobody knew what I was talking about. So we'll see how this goes. But when I was a kid, I remember I would go to like a gas station bathroom and there'd be like this little like cartoon book in the bathroom. And I got saved like 12 times in gas station bathrooms because of these, they're called tracks, right? So some people think that's the way we witness. Some people believe that witnessing is just standing out on a street corner telling you get right or go to hell, right? Or, you know, eat sausage gravy or burn. Like this is what we do. Sometimes witnessing, this is my faith, it looks like just sitting at a coffee shop, sharing the stories of all the Lord has done for you. Like, I'll get emotional about that because the reality is I've said this before and I'll say it again. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and he already shed his blood. So what's left? Talk about him. Tell people about me everywhere. So this preaching thing is relatively new to me, so I've taken it to the next level, guys. And I decided to do a deep dive in a word. Like this, I'm going straight Heath Adamson on you. So I looked up the Greek for the word witnesses. What was the Greek word? I bet there's people in this room that know what the Greek word was. I actually asked some people this, and more people knew than I really realized. I thought I had learned something. I just didn't know. It literally was martyrs. That was the Greek word. Be my martyrs in Jerusalem. Be my martyrs where your enemy lives. Be my martyrs to the end of the earth. And so like all of you, I'm like, yeah, I get to die for Jesus. I will die for the gospel, hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit said, will you die to yourself for me? It's easy for us to say, oh yes, if that day ever comes, I shall be a martyr. But will you die to yourself? This is what he asked me. Are we willing to kill our agenda? Are we willing to stop forcing sausage gravy on people? Are we willing to remove his name from our politics? Are we willing to turn the corporate ladder upside down? You know, the last will be first. That's the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is we decrease while he increases. The kingdom of heaven is that the king washes the servant's feet. This is the kingdom of heaven. Are we willing to die to ourselves to be his witness? What on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? After the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we die to ourselves and then tell everybody about Jesus. That's the first way that we bring the kingdom to earth. The second way, this just popped up. I don't even know. Like, I use the Bible app and sometimes things pop up and I'm like, that's what the Lord wants me to say. It's just, he talks to you. He leads you. So the next thing was Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. The second way to bring the kingdom to earth, be imitators of God. So let's read it. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and he offered himself up as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. I've always been intrigued by this scripture. Like Ephesians 5 just comes straight out, imitate God. And it's like, what? Like, imitate God? What does that even mean? But I'm going to read part of it again because this really stood out to me. Imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. And this reminded me of a story of my son, Peyton. He's 14 years old right now, but when he was about 8, he's like, Dad, I want to shave my head bald. And I'm like, why? Right? So anybody here that's bald, if you're online and you're bald, this is gonna resonate with you. When you're bald, You never understand why people shave their head when they don't have to. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It does not compute. So it's something that I struggle with, and I'm actually praying for the Lord's help, is I covet other people's hair. I do. It's like, it is my cross to bear. Like, honestly, it's my thorn in the flesh. And there's a lot of good hair in here right now. And so I'm like, Lord, please help me not to focus on those great hairdos right now. But anyway, so my son's like, Dad, I want to shave my head. Now, my son has an incredible head of hair. He's got great hair. He doesn't need to shave his head. But I was like, why would you want to do that? Like, people who aren't bald don't want to shave their head. And he said, and I think what he said exemplifies what this scripture says. He just simply said, I want to look like you. I want to look like you. This is what the scripture's talking about. We are his dear children. Of course, we would want to look like him. Of course, we would want to act like him. Of course, we want to kill our way for his way. Of course we would, right? Be imitators of God in everything you do because you're his dear children. He is the perfect daddy. If you don't know what to do, look to him. Look at him. Give up your will and look like his. Then the scripture continues. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. What is a life filled with love? This is the question that I'm asking. I think the scripture makes it clear. So before I go to the next part, I want to encourage you. So like I said before, I decided I'm going to take a deep dive in some different words. But I want to encourage you because if you have the internet, you can do this. Like, you don't need me to tell you what all the Greek words are. Like, you have a Bible. You have a way to access it. If you don't have the internet, you can just drive by and log in, right? But BibleHub.com. I'm just telling you. So I'm like looking up. It tells you everything you need to know. So please, I want to encourage you to study the word. Don't depend on me. Don't depend on Pastor Josh. Don't depend on Heath to give you everything you need when it comes to what the Lord's saying. He wants to talk to you. He will guide you. That's a side note. So anyway, I'm doing a deep dive into word studies. This is the new way for Paul. And I found that in this scripture, the word that was used for offered himself up is the same word that's used in John 19:13, where it says he gave up his spirit. So again, to imitate Jesus, we have to surrender our life. So I'm like, God, what are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to like do an excited, happy 4th of July sermon, and you're telling me the first two ways to bring the kingdom to earth is for me to die? I know, it's not exciting, but is it? Like in the garden, Jesus asked, let this cup pass. But before he left, he said, not my will, but your will be done. I want to take a second for all you guys who have been, who know Jesus. I want you to take a second and remember what it is that he set you free from. Some of you guys have been believers longer than I've been alive. Trust me, some of you remind me of that. So just take a second. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute and think, oh yeah, back however many years ago, 10, 20, 40, 50, whenever you met Jesus, where did he find you? How was his mercy and his grace shown to you? This is how we're supposed to be in this kingdom. The same mercy, the same grace. This is a way that we imitate our daddy. Maybe you're in the room, and I want to talk specifically to people who don't know Jesus just for a sec. I love talking about him, and you know, honestly, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We heard that in Acts 1. I just want to tell you, maybe you don't know this, and I want to take a moment and tell you this. He's not offended by you. He's not offended by what you've done. He's not offended by what you're doing. He loves you just like you are. Romans 5:8, it actually says that he demonstrates his love for us by Christ dying while we were sinners. He loved you so much that he died for your sins. He loves you right now. You didn't earn it. You can't. He loves you. He loves you absolutely, unconditionally. He wants to be in relationship with you. This is the Jesus that I know. Once you're a follower of Jesus, we are then his witnesses. We are then his martyrs, surrendering our life and our will, our agenda for our home, our town, our region, the world. To bring the kingdom, we must be imitators of God by living the way he loved. What is love? I know that we feel like that things can get kind of convoluted when it comes to what is love, but I think it's made pretty clear in the scripture that love is dying to your desires so others can hear about Jesus and come follow him. If we haven't died to the things that get in the way, people will never see the Jesus that we know. They'll never see him the way that he really is. They'll see him through the Paul filter. Oh, I don't know if I like that Jesus. The world in some ways and the church is currently divided by offense. We might be offended that someone drinks, smokes, votes for the wrong person. We might be offended that people that don't know Jesus don't act like him. That doesn't even make sense, right? Sometimes we can be so offended that the world doesn't look like Jesus that we actually stop looking like him. He wasn't offended by the woman caught in adultery. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He wasn't offended by the woman at the well. He knew her. He knew her story. And just by spending time with her, she became a disciple maker and shared the story of Jesus and to her entire city. Jesus wasn't offended by the man who was full of demons. He set him free, and then that man discipled his entire city. He actually died for those people. He died for us. If we want to imitate God, we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our offense. Offense causes us to act in opposition to the fruit of the Spirit. Offense is the enemy of love. So in summary, for the first two, I got one more. Shortest sermon of all time, maybe. So what's the first way to bring the kingdom? Be his witnesses. Die to our agenda. Tell everyone what Jesus has done for you. Second way, be imitators of God. Die to our agenda. Love everyone conditionally. So I'm sure that you guys have caught it now. Like, I'm a little confused when I'm doing sermon prep. I'm like, God, we're just doing a lot of dying right now to be like you. And then he was like, yeah, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Anyway, I was working through my outline. I came to this last point and I wasn't sure where he was taking me. I'm kind of like, am I going to have to start all over again? You know, this is Independence Day. Surely you have a sermon for Independence Day. And I was like, what's the third B? Like, we got be my witness, be imitators of God. And the Holy Spirit said it clear as day. He said, be free. And I remembered, though, then, freedom comes at a cost. We all know this. We talk about it all the time. Let's go to Mark 8:34 through 35, just to two verses. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. So again, he gives me a scripture and it's like, oh, by the way, pick up the thing that I died on and carry that and follow me. Remembering that when for us to give up our own way means to take up our cross and to die to our way to represent the kingdom of heaven. True freedom comes at the cost of life. Death of the old man, death of my will, death of my agenda, death of my allegiance to any kingdom that other than the kingdom of heaven. So I'm thinking, God, where's the happy part of this? Like, there's lots of dying going on. But then he took me to Galatians 5, So we're going to get some happy stuff now. Galatians 5:13, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We die, we love, we're free. So then I scoot on down in Galatians 5, and that's right where the fruit of the Spirit is. So let me read that to you. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. There's no law against these things. And I came to the realization that the evidence of the kingdom of heaven is the fruits of the Spirit. And in the fruit of the Spirit, there is ultimate freedom. There's no laws against them. And it made me start asking myself, am I living in a way that represents the kingdom? Am I living in a way that's full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? I want to be in a place where I can die to myself and then allow the Lord to grow the fruit of the Spirit in me. The first scripture we read started with, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is the fruit of his Spirit. This is the way that we bring the kingdom. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You guys are going to get to go home early today. Sometimes the Lord has a lot to say in a little bit of time. Would you stand with me? So maybe you're thinking, Paul, I know I'm free, but I'm not completely free. Like, I feel like there's some things that have gotten in the way of me adequately representing the kingdom of heaven. I've been there. I am there sometimes. Do I function perfectly in those fruits? Or am I growing orchards of the fruit of the Spirit? I want to. If we're ever going to make the impact as representatives of the kingdom of heaven, we have to die to our agenda. We have to give up our will. We have to imitate our daddy. We all want people to see Jesus. But what Jesus are they seeing? And for all those of you who maybe you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, he loves you. He loves all of you. No matter what place you are on this journey, he loves you like you are. So we're going to have a moment. If you want to spend some time just praying and asking the Lord, maybe there's areas in you that you need to sacrifice to him, that you need to die to your way. I've been working through this for a couple of weeks now. Like, wow, I needed this. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you want to. Can anybody on the ministry team come? I just want to have people to be here to be able to pray with folks. If you don't know the Jesus that I've been talking about, the one that loves you, the one that doesn't hold offense against you, he's not mad at you. There's some folks down here that want to tell you all about him. If you want some prayer agreement to look more like him, to love more like him, there's people down here who want to pray with you, who want to love on you. Guys, we have this incredible opportunity to represent the kingdom of heaven on earth. We have this incredible opportunity to impact people on behalf of the Father. So as we close, I just want to ask you to spend a little time with him. Ask him to reveal to you how you can look more like him. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your heart for us. I thank you for all that you're doing in this city, in my home, in my enemy's home, in my neighborhood. I just thank you for the work that you're doing. I thank you that there's people that you want to use to bring your kingdom. So I pray that you would just help us see the areas that we need to clear out so we can look like more like you. And I pray if there's people at home that don't know you, they just come across this live stream and they're like, I don't know that Jesus. I thought he was mad at me. I want to know him. God, I pray that you would meet them there. Be with us. Lead us. Guide us. And I pray that we would focus on what we can do on this earth for your kingdom. In Jesus' name.